call to order the Library Joint Powers Authority Board, Library Facilities Finance Authority Joint Study Session for October 22nd, 2015. May I have a roll call, please?
I'm going to do the roll call for the Library Joint Powers Board first and then LFFA members second.
Thank you, ma'am.
Supervisor Friend.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Reed.
Here.
Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas. Citizen Campbell.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Mosier. Director Ando.
Here.
Director Bernal.
Here.
Director Goldstein.
Here.
Director Palacios in alternate for Director Moriello.
Here. Thank you. Before we include the agenda, a small correction. The next meeting of the LFFA is Monday, November 9th, not Thursday, November 9th, as listed. All the information is correct. Are you okay in there, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, good. No problem. Approve a motion to approve the agenda. Your second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous? We'll now receive poll results from, I'm awfully sorry, almost missed oral communication. Is there any member of the public who would like to address this joint body regarding anything that's not on today's agenda?
Nobody on the agenda.
Do you have anyone there?
Nobody here.
Very good. We'll now receive the polling results from Gene Bregman. Gene, it's your show.
Thank you, thank you. Nice to be back. It's very kind of you to change the PowerPoint slide there. I'm going to do all these and give you all
the time. Gene, could you try to forgive me? Gene, could you get as close to the phone as possible instead of the echo?
Why don't you bring this between my brother and Gene?
Oh.
Put it on his lapel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is that better, Jim?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. So what we're going to do is go over the results of the highlights of the survey, which we just took last week. We did 406 completed interviews with people who are likely to vote in the June 2016 election. Where appropriate, there's a couple of charts where we will compare the previous results, previous surveys. So the first question in the survey was an overall job rating for Santa Cruz libraries. People rated was excellent, good, only fair, or poor. And as has been the case over the last couple of years of surveys that we've been doing, the excellent good ratings are very high, 77%. And for the rest, it's mostly people who have no opinion. We only have 7% no fair, 1% is poor, and 15% no opinion. Pretty consistent over these last couple of years with a slight variation, but nothing terribly important. The most interesting thing is the people who are more likely to give the libraries a positive rating are people who use the libraries or the library's website, Democrats and Independents. People who are less likely are Republicans. And people who don't use the libraries or websites, not they have negative opinions, they are more often don't know, no opinion. So it's not like it was a vast segment of the population who doesn't like it. That's either they're positive or they don't know. Second question. One of our first measurements of likelihood for people to support some sort of vision that involves taxation is how much need does the is there for the libraries for more money. And the choices are great need, some need, little need, or no real need. At the current survey, which is the lower right-hand corner pie, the great need at 32, some need at 37. It's been fairly consistent with the last poll done last December, a little bit lower than the ones that were done a little more than a year ago. This is important. We look at the great need and some need combined at 69%. That's right about equal to the level that we're going to need when we go put something on the ballot to be 230 or 67%. And again, the same sort of groups were more likely to say that there was need
use the library more often, saying they don't know how much need there is. The next question was, using the same scale, how much need is there to repair, for money to repair, maintain, and modernize local library facilities? And again, we're right about at that number we're going to need to pass something at 68%, very similar to 67, slightly below what it was a while back. 68% of green need, though, at 29, and suddenly 39. Again, the same sort of groups as we've seen in the previous two charts. We're figuring on this one as well. So before we get into our votes, we're right sort of at the borderline where we're going to need to be. Now, this chart, these four sets of bars, show the four first votes that people gave on a ballot measure. The first were read, paragraph similar to what they might see on the actual ballot, when there was no tax mentioned. They said there would be a tax, but it would be delineated, and they could look up the specifics in the voter pamphlet, because it's what's being considered now are one tax level for homeowners, it's slightly more commercial, and maybe more for agriculture. So there's a good reason to do that. We've done this in the past in various places. But the vote was just 63% yes. We then followed that and saying, how about if the tax were $59 per year as a parcel tax? And we almost the same as 62. When we go to $54 for the tax rate, we're at 63. We only get up to our, even just barely hitting our level that we need at the 68% level when we get the $49 tax rate. Lots of interesting groups that were differentiated on this, besides the ones the library used are more supportive than those who were not. Renters, Democrats, Independents, women under the age of 50, particularly strong supporters of the 300 votes. Residents of the city of Santa Cruz and Live Oak and sort of general other unincorporated, more supportive than the Scotts Valley and Felton Ben Lomond areas. That's also pretty consistent with the other studies we've done. When we get to the actual mentioning of tax rate, the three lessons on the first one, there's also a difference between the most frequent voters and the less frequent voters. The most frequent voters are less supportive. So if we were to consider going for an even lower turnout election, the chances of passing something would be less. On the other hand, if we would decide to vote about going for a higher turnout election, then the chances for success would be higher. Chart 4B actually compares, we've now asked in various forms these three tax rates of 59, 54, and 49 in the three different polls that we did. In April of 2014, it was 65% and 69% of $59. In December of last year, it was 60 and 65. This year, we recovered a little bit to 62 and 68. The one thing that's consistent with all of them is we never get to our two-thirds that we need until we get to a tax rate that's under $50. And then we did ask for votes later after we gave people reasons for and against supporting the measure, which I'll get to in a minute, but I wanted to look, see how those affect people, and not a huge effect. The $59 tax rate goes up to 65% from the 62. The 54 stays at the same 65. The $49 tax rate picks up 1 point to 69%. So it's not a huge impact by the arguments in favor and opposed, either because they're both effective or effective enough anyway at this level. If we were talking about half, 50% election, you might see something different. And again, they're the same voter groups that were more or less supportive of the early ones were also more or less supportive of these votes. Now, among the questions that I was talking about, we have more information. First, one thing at first was it was rotated. Half the people heard the arguments against first, and other half heard the arguments in favor first. But the first chart is on the arguments against, and there were half a dozen of them. And we asked, does each one of these make you much more likely, somewhat more likely to oppose the measure, or does it make no difference to you one way or the other? None of them are overwhelmingly negative unto themselves. The much less likely ranges from 16 to 22%. The combined 41 and 39 is a little bit higher than 36, 35, 32. So there is some impact, but not enormously so. The highest of the combined is something money will not be used for existing libraries with the help of struggling with middle school annex and LIBO that will improve library services. Along with, it was just a few years ago that gave libraries a permanent portage in sales tax. They should not be asking taxpayers for any more money. So really, if you think of those as the two most effective, the LIBO point is really no more effective than the strongest anti-tax measure at the same time. Again, all of those of these was thought of rated more highly by the people who don't use the libraries, people in the Scott Valley area. Let's see, specifically, I had a problem with all that inside. That needs to be talked about, particularly here. Something interesting we get if and when we get to the campaign to talk about how we are. The Republicans were more strongly reacting to this. I don't know, not another factor that I need. And then item 7A is the first group of the positive statements. These are the eight top reasons for people to favor the measure. And these were all in the that first top margin of error, which was 5%, between 47 and 52%, saying much more likely. So that the influence of each of these is much stronger, as you would expect. So since even when we're not doing so well in the vote, we're still getting 62, 63%. So you would expect this to be higher than the negatives. Throwing some money is needed to fix the roofs. It's important to keep libraries open to provide a safe place for kids, upgrade electrical systems, upgrade computer technology, all this sort of, and it goes on from there, but I don't know the specifics. Library users, particularly, and women under the age of 50, react to just about all of these more positively than others. Republicans, of course, were less positive than Democrats and independents of all of these. Item J, measure allow libraries to maintain increased programs for young children, like story time and expanded children's book collections, was more important to people who are interviewed on their cell phones. And we could do a lot of those, 18 to 49 year olds and the less frequent voters, which is correlates to all three of those correlate together, and it's the same groups of people. And then the last chart is the remaining items that were in the favorable statements. And the first three are pretty close to that first group in the 40s. Seniors are particularly rely on libraries. Boilers are out of date. Maybe provide funds to replace the two branches of Capitola and Felton. Jamie, Capitola and Felton. A little lower for the measure, if this measure library will provide more places of community events and gathering, but not negative. The measure will allow libraries to improve additional space to expand their collections. It's not a negative, but not all that strong. And then the other one was some of the money we use to write library service and another educational facility that had a 30% that I think we is somewhat more likely, it was only about 20. So this wasn't a terribly effective argument. I'm not sure it's enough to kill the thing, but it's not terribly effective either. So, where are we? Unfortunately, we're kind of where we have been.
Before you go on, yeah. J Jim, can you hear me? Jim?
Yeah, I've gotten close to that.
Yeah, you're getting close to having to leave at 1:30. Do you have any questions for Gene before you sign off?
No, the numbers that he sent the presentation look pretty straightforward as in the presentation.
Thank you, Jim. Carry on.
Thanks.
So, I mean, we're pretty much where we have been. Nothing much has changed. Anything over a $50 tax rate for homeowners is problematic at best. Even if you're at the upper 40s, it's not going to be easy by any means. You're hovering right on the borderline at just 68-69%, and you've already asked people. Remember, the way we ask the question is a $59 tax? If they don't say yes, then we go down to 54, and then if they still haven't said yes, it goes down to 49. So there are a certain number of people who will say yes to the interview, just get them to shut up. How much further, you know? All right, when you get down to 12, let me know. You know, so this is maybe slightly inflated on that. So we're at best right on the border, at that high 40s. But I think anything else is problematic at best. I know that talking with Tim Seufert at NBS, who's a financial guy, they said, well, I asked him about what is there any way to make sure we get it, is to get more in terms of millions of dollars. Well, yeah, he can. You tell him what you're waiting for the tax to be, and then he can play with the other amounts and see what that means as far as different tax rates for commercial and industrial, et cetera. So I think that's, if it was up to me, I'd like to see the thing down mid-40s, at best, at highest. A shot at it probably at 48, 49, but certainly no slam dunk, and it's going to be tough. The other thing is that if you were going to push it off to November, the larger turnout would probably help, but it doesn't help Capitola very much. In case you lose, then Capitola's in big trouble. And so that's something that we all have to take into consideration. Because regardless
we're
of...
We're no stranger to trouble.
Right.
So, I'm going to go on the line for questions for you.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Amy is anxious. Go for it. Start.
So what I heard you say was that you'd be more comfortable recommending a figure in the mid-40s. Does mid-40s
yes.
include 46, or is mid-40s more like 43?
Well, when I was 46.
You were definitely in your mid-40s.
I was in my mid-40s, yeah. It's only a year or two ago.
Yeah. So does 46 qualify?
I think so. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay, and a follow-up question. Do we have a decent number at this point for what 46 would yield, given our current assessment rate? And I guess I'm directing them where the state standard vision is the answer at this point. Market just doesn't have those numbers yet. But presumably we're talking about a total yield of 46 or something on the order of, my ballpark guess is 50 million.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Unless Tim
works in back.
Yeah. And we don't know what that means to the others, or what that would do politically to other entities, to other parts of the community, and how they would react to that. So.
Nicole had talked to Marcus, I believe, about the yields.
So I talked to Marcus a little bit about the yields, trying to get a sense of where $49 would land us. And originally, based on older models, it was somewhere in the $60 million range. But because we've been adjusting the model to change how we're treating commercial ad, most recently, he was looking at like $55 million yield or $49 single-family rate. But we're probably going to have to increase the reserve because of how we're treating commercial land. So he's thinking it's going to be below $55 or even $49. So if you're talking about low 40s, you're going to be getting pretty low.
So my 46 estimate to a $50 million yield is within. Consistent with what you've heard at this point.
I'd say it's probably below $50.
Probably below. Thank you.
Yeah.
Martha?
I don't have any questions, any more questions. You asked
it. It's pretty impressive.
I think you are the poster child for that.
Not really a question, just mulling over.
Okay, Carlos?
Just want to be clear about the margin of error in the question, particularly about the level of the assessment.
Right. The margin of error ranges from plus or minus 2.9 to 4.9, depending on the response rate on the question. Supposedly you get to 50% of your response level, the higher margin of error. Looking at the 68% that we get for the highest vote, that margin of error is 4.5%.
That is magical. Exactly. Questions?
I have a brief question, a brief comment. I guess the comment focuses on, with education, the numbers did tick up, which was good, because even when you had the negative components, that actually did not depress the numbers, which allowed it to do it.
Right.
Your job is to be as conservative as possible and recommend it as something that will actually pass, and I respect that. But I think that realistically, a number in the mid-40s isn't something that's going to pass the rest of either the needs test or probably the community desires test. I think there's a couple things that for me are clear. I think we have to go forward with something because I think that the libraries are too important for the voters to not have a say in the level of service and the types of libraries they have in their community. But I also believe that we don't get a lot of opportunities to ask the voters for that level of investment, and I'd be cautious against doing something so low with the expectation that that sort of solves something when it really doesn't, and then being unable to go back. So I really want to press you on how soft or hard those numbers were, because I was actually, to be honest with you, surprised at how little drop off there was between $49 and $59, yeah. Respecting the fact that the margin is what it is, and it's a plus minus, it's not just a minus, right?
Right.
But because there is an understanding that with political unanimity, on $1 amount versus another, there's sort of this X factor, this right, but you wouldn't have it in a 40, mid-40s where you would in a high 50s. So that's just something to state. And so I wanted to see on a 65 number, how often you've seen historically with the unified front, that number can actually move, recognizing that you're dealing with a very thin, you know, tight election number, or not. Yeah, that's kind of the primary question. First, it's a statement about the reality of the political component. The second is more of a question of how you've seen it move or not.
Okay. Certainly, if you have a good campaign, things move well. And I've seen things in the mid-60s that end up winning. Not as often when you have something that's 62 or 63. That's a long way to go. Because you're at two-thirds. If you were at 45 and you could get to 50, I would be more optimistic. But at 62 to 67, we've got a number of people who are ingrained that are going to oppose any sort of taxing.
Right.
And then to win them over is, there's some we will never know. The problem, I think, with this becomes how much of an opposition is going to exist. If there's not going to be a huge groundswell of opposition, organized or otherwise, then you probably can, it'll be worth the risk to push it as much as you can. To a point. I mean, I still wouldn't go through. We've now done three studies where we, over the past year and a half, where we asked the same tax rates, and every time we essentially the same answer.
Right.
It's not just one study where the margin of error is 5%, it's three of them. Mm-hmm. And we're always down to 62, 63, and we're never above 68, 69, or 49. So I think there's, you can make an argument for what a lot of people are saying to go for something in between those that might be worth doing, assuming that you have the resources to raise a lot of money
or at least it has enough money to do a really good campaign. But without that, I'd be less than optimistic.
I appreciate that. I do think there's a difference between an organized opposition and a lack of excitement about something to vote for,
yes.
though, right?
That's true,
I recognize that. And we're not measuring the latter effect, in essence. If you have hard no's, people who vote against any tax measure, say a baseline of 25%-ish, right? But if I can't articulate to the county as a whole what they're getting for something, and people are saying, there isn't an excitement factor that is actually going to produce something, which the lower dollar number, I would argue, probably does not provide any level of excitement to actually provide anything. I would just be concerned about then how soft even those numbers are as well. So that's the fine line that I'm trying to make here on that thing. Recognizing where Capitola is in a unique situation, Jamie, please don't panic here. But that's where I'm really pressing you on what was within the numbers, because if I went to somebody and I said, well, if you knew that I could basically replace three of the chairs for $44, or I could put on a new roof and do all the chairs in a new collection for $59, does that change your mind? There's a component of someone's willingness to work for something versus not. Versus, well, I've tried to not increase opposition to something. I would argue that you would actually lose a lot of the pro excitement by going the other way. That's where my concern is. I didn't see where that break number was within what you have.
Well, I think that everything is correct as long as the message you get out there. Mm-hmm. That's the key. People have to know all that. So that means that there's got to be a good campaign in favor of whatever goes on the ballot to make sure that all the voters, when they mail it in or go to the voting booth, they know what they're voting for. That's it.
Yes. Reading the numbers, it seems that there's really no variable that changes anything more than 5 or 6%.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to ask, what is the percentage of the electorate that is that permanent no vote? Is that 25%? If it is 25%, are we basically arguing about 8% of the electorate? So we have to get over that floor to do this? And in your experience, how
does
that
work? General rule of thumb is 20 to 25% in most communities. Okay. I mean, every once in a while you find something that does better than that.
Well, in this community specifically.
I think that's generally pretty much where it is.
Okay.
But I would question against, say, you're arguing only over 8 or 10% because you're arguing over 8 or 10%.
Right.
And that's what you are, you know, and that's what you're going after. And what's the best way to make sure you get those people who would like to support something, have to be convinced that this is not too much of a tax for them.
And it's, have you seen this sort of price sensitivity to for the $10 partial tax difference in other measures in our county? I mean, it seems like we're really slicing this really fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, $5? Really? You're the pollster, right?
I have seen it. I can't remember if it's offhand, I've seen it in the county. This county here particularly, we've been that tight on things.
You did on the parks measure. The sensitivity was between $8 and $13, which is literally $5.
Oh, right.
And the number was so significant that we went for $8. That's a year. That's not even so it's not based on an assessed value. So just whether you give $8 a year for parks or $13 a year for parks. It was $8.6, I can't remember what that thing. But I mean, we went late and changed, and that was last year.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, did you have any questions for me?
Yeah, we have a sales job to do. We have a great product to sell to. I believe we should go ahead with something. And I'm inclined to go ahead with something that will deliver what we've been negotiating amongst ourselves for so long. If we're going to do it, let's go for it and do the sales job that we need to do. One of the questions, the Career College, they're going to put on a $100 million bond measure, I think, in June, and then there's going to be a passive sales tax in November next year. I don't know what impact that will have, but Career is that big of a. I know it's always been popular, and rightly so, but they have 71, 72, is that right? So, I think that's what it was.
And they only need 55%.
Yeah. And what impact might that have?
The odds of them getting their 55% are pretty good. Like we pointed out last in the fall. As far as the impact on the libraries, education, higher education is a less of an impact than K-12 education would have. And if you were up against a whole bunch of school districts at the same time, that would be more problematic on them. Because the libraries are an adjunct to education, more so to K-12 education than to community college education. So it plays more into that. And that's always a cornerstone of the campaign. So that some of the arguments are effective because of the effect and the impact that it has on education for kids. That's one of the big things we've got going for you. As far as the half-cent sales tax that's going to probably be on the ballot for roads, I have not seen the polling or anything that they've done. I know from years ago doing stuff. Are they going to be 2/3 also, or just 50%?
Just 2/3.
2/3. I would give your odds a lot better than theirs. Just in general.
Well, before I open this up to the public, any further questions of me?
Questions or comments?
No, questions. We'll all come into discussion at another stage. Anyone in the public would like to address this joint study session on this subject? Anyone? Bruce?
Thanks. I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. First of all, about Count Scola, Count Scola's agreement with the county has already been revised twice, and the time has been extended. So I don't really see that there's a problem here. If I recall correctly, Susan said a few months ago that the county would extend the agreement. There isn't a hard deadline there. As far as capital or breaking ground or whatever the requirement is. But I have another question, and that how did the results vary between different jurisdictions? Is there a jurisdiction where if we left that jurisdiction out, we could get closer to 70%?
The one that was the least positive or the was the Spats Valley area, and then of course the Falcon Bend one was a little bit lower too. Of course, part of one was a lot of developments. Hard to leave that. Those would be one of the areas. But if that were on the way, it would be one of the ones that would be pretty good though.
Thank you. Anything further from the public? We'll bring it back to discussion. Before we bring it back to discussion, because several lawyers have disagreed about this, it warrants mentioning that there should be no motions or seconds or decisions by either body at this meeting. It should be taken back to the regular meetings of those bodies. So that being said, it's open for discussion. Cynthia.
Well, getting back to my I'm generally pretty cautious. We have great respect for Gene's work and advice over the years. My instinct at this point is that we have been agonizing over this for 2 years now, and not a whole lot of movement. As I look at these results, there's significant percentage that have no opinion on overall ratings. And I think as someone mentioned, that's where I think Jean mentioned and Bruce, where a really aggressive education campaign can lay the groundwork for that. And I think about some of the revenue measures we've got in the city that did involve basically a good 6 months of pretty heavy-duty education, preparing the groundwork, not on the campaign, but on the issue. So I see a lot. lot of potential to challenge that no opinion section. As others have mentioned, there's not a great difference when you look across the amounts. And my concern, and it's just political gut, is unless we settle on an amount that honestly gives every branch, every jurisdiction, a straight-faced realization of their needs, there is not going to be that all-in enthusiasm that we need for a successful campaign. And I think we're going to need the all-in for any campaign, even the lowest amount, even lower than the lowest amount. And if there's just a lukewarm feeling about it, it's kind of, swimming upstream, seriously, from the very beginning. So I really tend towards the feeling that all the jurisdictions have to get what they need for facilities, and that we just go for an aggressive, ambitious campaign where a real case can be made in every jurisdiction, for every branch. And that will, I believe, coupled with a very strong education campaign, give the kind of energy and enthusiasm that will lead to a successful campaign. I have concerns about a halfway effort.
I guess I would all kind of like, I feel that we have a professional pollster here who pulled this question multiple times. It seems pretty clear to me that we can get $150 for one through the pass. My concern is that putting something on the ballot that we hope will pass, and we're counting on moving the dial pretty significantly beyond what Jim would recommend, is potentially possibility of failure. And possibility of failure, to me, is the worst alternative. It's worse than not putting something on. I think then you end up describing a story to the electorate and to this library system of not succeeding with these things that precludes future measures down the road or potentially makes them more challenging. And so I guess I would push back a little bit and argue that 20% less than the numbers we've talked about, I think I would suggest we all go back and take a hard pencil and take a look at it. And I appreciate the notion of not being very excited about it, but I guess I would look at this facility and get $6 million for this facility, what can be done? And I think that this could be a pretty wonderful place for $6 million. Is it what we want with $8 million? Probably not. But the notion of being able to get something in the near term, this is what the electorate's going to bear. We've seen that now in multiple polls. Over time, the longer we wait, the more our purchasing power declines, cost escalation, and to be able to deliver real positive improvements to our library and not run the risk of putting something out there that fails and ultimately jeopardizes the system or funding in the long term is something that concerns me. So I guess I would ask everybody to think about really what it would mean to be 20% lower than we've talked about in the past, what they can get done, and can they get excited about it.
Well, to tie on to one of my city managers that I represent over there, I mean, you live in a policy ideal world, that's not the reality of the political world, right? I mean, this is not, the truth here is that it's a hope to pass any of them. I mean, the numbers are soft even at 49, 44. Where's the constituency? Where's the campaign group? Where's the support of the city councils? Where's the support? They don't exist. I mean, at a lower number, I've heard from Steve, I've heard from my fellow board members, heard from basically everybody with Capitola. They're not going to support it. Or they're not going to, well, actually, they might not support it, quite frankly. So my concern with you, that's true from a purist policy perspective. But I think that we have a reality here that we have to ask our community, what level of library services do you want? These are the needs. These are our hopes, these are our dreams, and you're the ones that are responsible along with us to fund it, and we have to put it forward to them with a certain amount. I think that the only way, though, that you get the infrastructure on a countywide campaign, which is very difficult to pass things countywide here, historically, actually, is if you get all these jurisdictions to buy in, and I don't think you do it with the 20% component. I think that, that what the poll is asking is just a point in time, would you support a $49, would you support a $59? It's not looking at the reality of on the ground from that point on what a political campaign looks like in a pro and con. It's not presupposing whether there would be an actual organized opposition to it. It's not presupposing whether there'd be an enthusiastic electorate behind it the other way. Those are the things that all poll does is give you the idea of whether or not you can even try something. Then moving beyond that is the actual political or campaign world that I would at least submit that the electeds on the board are probably a little bit more attuned to than not, right? And so I think that that's, I just think that there's a reality that it would be hard for people within my jurisdiction, and I'm asking them to vote for things that are outside of the jurisdiction, to see the system as a whole, to go to LaSalle and go to Aptos and say, and I think it's going to play out in my book in the city of Santa Cruz the exact same way, do you want to be the vitamin, the minimum daily allowance, or do you want us to actually take a shot at moving libraries into the future? Because if you just want, I don't think that this community's ever been about, let's just do the minimum, let's just do the baseline. They always are about trying to push things to the future. I think that's a much easier thing to try and communicate to the electorate because it's the reality than just playing it safe. And I actually really don't think we have a choice. I really don't. I think we have to take a shot, or it's just not, you're just not going to have the background support for it. But we can talk about that when you buy me a lunch.
It's all about the free lunch.
Well, it's yeah, right. If it's below the floor, it's 700.
So obviously the electance on this board would be more attuned to this than necessarily I would, but you know, I think that makes a really strong point that from what we've seen over, you know, this time I've been on board and what I understand before, something in the, you know, $35-$40 range is just not, it's not going to get there with the jurisdictions. It's just not. I don't see it getting there. And so, you know, for me, I would be inclined to support rolling for, you know, what we discussed last week, government. You know, obviously there's still some more math to be done and some details to be worked out. But it's hard for me to see going back particularly to the place that I live, and saying, well, what can we do? Can we use some old screws there instead of new screws, right? Can we put, you know, some books in a pile instead of doing this thing we want to do? I just don't think that would work for us.
I have a couple of questions for you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the reason most likely to oppose the measure, were those only asked of the definite no's? Or is that everyone across the board, if you were to oppose it, want to be opposed?
No, I'm trying to everybody got to ask every question.
Okay.
Except when you got to the vote test, if you said yes, you didn't get asked a lower amount.
Got it.
And those are.
So the reasons you were likely to oppose went to the people who would even
everybody.
Definitely mm-hmm. say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Is trying to assess what argument's going to move you.
Correct.
And of course, the no voters reacted much more positively to the arguments opposed, and the yes voters reacted.
Good. Now, to initial votes in the partial tax measure, I'm mm-hmm. seeing with no tax rate mentioned, the yes is at 63%.
Yeah, that's.
Which is only 1 point above the $59 tax rate. And I'm questioning, do you think people were actually convinced when the tax rate went below 50? Or.
Well, that's the question that worries me the most in the whole poll.
Yeah, and this question.
But in fact, you only got 63% with no specific tax rate.
Right, this one doesn't make any sense. You know,
right, so then there's an assumption from a lot of people that the tax rate is going to be too high when I go to take a look at it.
But there's a higher on the side.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah, but.
Agreed.
But they're not. The inclination is not to say, oh, I'll use my taxes for others. See, there's a group, that small group that we're looking at, to say, oh, I like libraries, but how much do taxes really Now, I would have hoped that at least some of that seven different from 14.7 would have actually been there on the first question.
Right.
That's what I was hoping to get.
I can see that.
And if I've gotten other things going to ask the question as well. It didn't happen.
Well, that number, that 14% of no opinion on that first question, that number is just that same basic percentage that people have no opinion on the need or no opinion on the job rating. So that's your opportunity. That's the core education first question.
Maybe two thirds.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And to Jamie's point, in many cases, I would agree with you. It was sort of kind of where I walked with this meeting on. I got to Jamie from a little further into it. Yet, at 20% less, if you were just remodeling this facility, it would make a big difference. But we're not talking about a lot of funding pain at the branches. We're talking about significant remodels that would change in flavor completely.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
I'm the only person in my head.
It's all taken from your imagination.
It's all about me. Okay. So, to Zach's point as well, if you're going to remodel a facility, that's one thing. If you're going to build a facility, when you hit it 20%, you've built a different facility, significantly different. And when we're talking to people in that house, we're saying, we're not just going to paint and put new bookshelves in. We are going to expand your experience here. That's not 20%. That's saying, go for the $59 and work hard. Where it really becomes a campaign. And it's ours to lose. And Martha, what did I just say that prompted you to this?
Well, we've been at this for 2 years. And it's been hard, and it's only now we're finally coming to where the jurisdictions can hopefully come to some agreement about some very exciting projects. We've all treated this as a problem, and maybe now's the time it should be an opportunity. And, a lot of respect, Jane, I do appreciate your insights, but none of us have been real excited yet. Because this has been hard. And maybe it's time that we come together and say, wow, this is really going to be great. And go for that
right. I think a lot of the indecision has had less to do with the voters and more to do with our meetings and what is going on inside of them.
Yes.
So I can get past that. And how come when people say they have all the respect for you, you tense up, Jamie, because you know it's coming. One just comment, I'm concerned with the second slide or the first slide where it talks about overall job rating for Jennifer's libraries, and I'm hoping that dwindling number from 9 to 13 to 20 to 15 isn't an indicator of lack of care or I don't go to the library anyway, so I have no opinion about it. I hope that's not the case. But finally, Gene, I'm looking at these polls as we go through the years. We have a nice sampling here, 4 years. And I'm looking at, finally, after December 2014, a slight trend upward that we may see us hit crest in June. So this could be an indicator that we're moving in a positive direction.
You saw the sign of
chart one, yeah.
Or is it chart two?
The fact that we are moving in a positive direction, and it's an indicator of where the economy is going in general, and people recognize it.
On the other hand, statistically speaking, beginning August 2014, say April 2014, the 2014 and 2015 study, those are statistically dynamic. At 76, 72, 77, that's no change. Mm-hmm. And August 3. That's a very good place to be. Those are terrific numbers. The state legislature would kill for that. Or the Congress. But that's Yeah, most anybody. Except, of course, you know, the electors at this table. They don't really have that in those numbers themselves.
They love us. Sydney?
You were testing slightly different voter profiles.
Yeah, in some of them. Yeah.
How so?
One of them was for a special election, so that was a super, super frequent voter.
Right.
Different.
Okay.
But it's interesting that they don't vary.
It's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Further comments? Zach?
I'd just like to hear more from the administrators since, other than Jamie, I don't hear a lot, and it's important to hear what the office base team and Silent, our team, Carlos. I mean, it's important for me to not be making these statements to just have you go back to the city council and Scott Scott and say we got the shaft. This is so I need to know where your team stands and to have us have an understanding of what you think of this too.
I was hoping that I was making some progress with my council and when we were talking about the higher numbers, but now we're talking about lower numbers, and my fear is, you know, we had a lot of discussion on the higher number, and to start all over again, you know, the lower number, okay, now this is really falling, now that we have, you know, and we're going to go through this, you know, large discussion again, and it's going to push this time out that, yeah, maybe we can still make the timeline, you know, to get it on for June, but does that leave enough time to do a decent campaign at all? We cut ourselves short on the campaign and, you know, doing that, so I mean, I should be talking, but, you know, I'm just worried about that. Part of the problem is, you know, trying to get consensus on how the distribution is, so that's my worry.
Well, that's
starting all over again.
I appreciate that input, because it speaks to what my instinct was, which is that without the higher number, I don't get Scotts Valley. I probably lose Santa Cruz, and I lose at least one of my colleagues on the board. So I think that that's because we've had 2 years of discussions with your colleagues. Well, my colleagues had even more conversations with your colleagues. But so I think that your sense was that they were that there was more favorable if we could get to that higher number. You think you could?
I think we were moving. I was getting there, but now, you know, even at the 49, you know, when we were thinking we were going to get close to 60,000 now, or 60 million, now it's, you know, 55 or less.
Yeah.
And we're having to go even higher, which, you know, just to get back to where we were before, you know, the money.
Okay.
Kind of problematic.
14.
I agree that it would be difficult to go back and fix, you know, have that before now. Trying to get there would be the best thing to do. But those things, there might be an opportunity to look at the numbers again in terms of, you know, we spent some amount of time insofar as how we apply it to commercial and industrial. I think probably worthwhile to sort of delve into that a little bit more to see, you know, what the multipliers that we kind of came up with, whether there's some room there to adjust those. So I'd have to look at that to see if we can extract in some more revenue from the measure. I know we've been going down because of some of this, some of the data, but maybe if we go back and look at some of the multipliers, for example, that might work. We're not going to get closer to the market. So I think it's worthwhile spending some time on that in addition.
Okay. With regard to Capitola, there's really, the timeline does not matter. Is we can work with that. We can begin planning, and we technically meet the deadline of the county's given us first.
Looking at the poll, if you look at the definitely no, it's pretty consistent across all the different months. It's right around 18%. And if you look at the definitely yes, also consistent. Mm-hmm. So the what's in play is the probabilities and the unknowns. Mm-hmm. And that's almost 40%. Mm-hmm. And that's right around 40%. And so to me, this is a campaign of education effort. And I think given the lack of big discrepancies between the different amounts, it makes sense to go for the higher amount. I think that this all comes down to the campaign. And my experience in Watsonville, which I think everybody would agree is a difficult environment for a tax measure, we did a number of sales tax measures, and we never saw a poll we liked. It was never a great poll. It all came down to, and we passed a number of sales taxes, two sales taxes, two-thirds, and it all came down to the campaign, it all came down to getting everybody on board. in a strong and enthusiastic way. So I would push getting everybody excited, getting everybody on board, going for the higher amount rather than going for a lower amount and having people unenthusiastic. It's going to be a hard campaign in the event. I think more than likely we'll be going up against Cabrillo. And so then, and you know, Cabrillo is a very strong entity in terms of so we need to get our voice heard. It's going to be difficult. But I think if we have a lot of really enthusiastic people behind that campaign, we have a shot at it, a good shot at it.
No, that's my vote.
Yeah.
And you know, if we're going to go for a measure, why not go for something that gets everyone excited and go all the way? It's going to be hard work one way or the other. Why, you know, really get out there if we're not going to give something that is truly amazing and brings ourselves forward into the present?
I agree. I think for the last statement was made, I think the last 2 years we've had kind of mellow infighting about who gets how much. And there's been some real differences of opinion on that. And I think finally we came to some agreement. And it's based on $59 issue, that or, figure, that if we're going to do this, like I said before, I think we should do it to deliver what we say we're going to do. Because we're not going to get close if we cut it 20%. And these needs are here. We just have to show people that are real and that we are enthusiastically supportive of.
Anything further? Then we will adjourn this meeting.
When do you think we'll get an idea of better deals in the different minutes? I think MBS is supposed to be working on a model and right. Coming back at the next LFA meeting with some additional information. So that will be on the Monday, November 9th meeting.
Anywhere that can happen on November 2nd? Please get indicated. So we have it at our LFA meeting.
I think Marcus felt like November 9th was the aggressive.
That's what he told me as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Right. I think November 9th was the very earliest we thought we could produce anything.
So I talked to Marcus about this morning, and he said MBS will be able to confirm our modeling hopefully by November 2nd, and we can report on this. So that's
second.
He said hopefully by November 2nd.
Okay.
That was from this morning. Now, whether
either of us has a penny,
he didn't promise to say it.
Because I think what we're looking at is 59 versus 49, and that should be very easy to give some notes on. Mm-hmm. Once again, maybe further, then I will once again adjourn the meeting. Library Joint Power Report, November 2nd, Downtown Branch Library, 6:30 p.m. LFFA, November 9, 9 a.m., Downtown Branch Library. Thank you all for showing interest in that.